Turn with me to John. And let me tell you what we're doing. Because we started talking about his words are our power. Somebody say, his words are our power. And we started not exactly in the beginning of John, but in the close to the beginning of John, of a story of this man in chapter 5 who was at the pool of Bethesda, who hadn't been able to walk in 38 years. And Jesus speaks to him and says, take up your bed and walk. And he did it. And what we said is, whether he felt like doing it, whether he felt a twinge, many times when people feel the power of God, many times they'll feel heat. We've heard that over and over and over again. We don't know that he felt anything. But he did what God told him to do. And we said, at 38 years, even if you felt something, see, many times the Holy Spirit will be pushing you out of a box, but because you've been in that box for so long, you grab a hold of the side of that box and won't allow the power of God to get you out. Amen. And what we have to do is be sensitive to God speaking to us and do what he asks us to do. And I'm fully convinced that the reason why this man took up his bed and walked was because he did what God told him to do. Notice in this story, it's very interesting, notice that Jesus finds him later on. Do y'all remember this? And what does he tell him? Do you remember what he tells him? Finds him later on and tells him, hey, buddy, make sure you stay out of sin. And then he even tells him, because you don't want to return to this state. See, there are few churches that you could even teach this in, that they wouldn't roll you out on a rail. You know what I mean? Well, teach what? Teach that there sometimes, look at your neighbor, say sometimes, can be a connection between sin and sickness. Wow, it got really quiet. But see, that's what I'm talking about. Can we recognize God is going to tell us some upfront things? You know, and think about it. In this case, why? Think about it. Why is Jesus finding him to tell him that? Let me teach you something. Everything that God has ever done and everything that God is ever going to do is predicated on love. He is love. You want to get something down in your heart? Get this down in your heart. God is good. And when you can't figure it out, come up with this. This ought to be your go-to. God is, not only is he's good, he's only good. So why is he telling him that? He's telling him that because he wants to make sure that he stays out of a mess. Why is he telling you to do whatever he's telling you to do? The same thing. He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He will hunt you down and give you correction. Why? Because he wants you to stay victorious. He wants you to stay free. He wants you to stay healed. He wants you to stay delivered. Amen. When I was a kid, I grew up in, we spent almost 5 years in Big Bear. My dad pastored a church up in Big Bear, and it would get really cold there. And I had this big jacket. I was five, barely remember this, but I remember, how many five, you can remember some traumatic stuff. And this was traumatic, because you know what, I was, we had one of those wall unit heaters, and I backed up, and I was heating myself in the wall unit heater, and I had a big jacket on, and the jacket caught on fire. How many know at five, you can even remember that? Well, how come that happened? Here's why, because I got too close to the heat. How many know you get too close to the heat, you're going to catch on fire. And Jesus is going to go warn this guy and say, hey, no. Stay away from that. That is going to cause you to fall back into some things that you don't want to fall back into. Amen? Amen. Then we saw over, you know what, in the next chapter, chapter 6, Jesus. And this is all talking about the same thing. God, because this is what God does. God tells you something that's going to bless you. And when you're obedient, then you walk in those blessings. If you're smarter than God, then you think, no, I'm smarter than God. How many know we sometimes believe stuff that we won't say out of our mouth? Because that's, I mean, we know, oh, I'm not going to say it. But how many sometimes your actions speak louder than your words? So in your actions, you said, no, I'm smarter than God. I know he said to do this, but I'm not going to do this. That's what we're talking about over and over and over. Example of the blessings of God happening. Why? Because Jesus tells them, sit these people down. Prepare them to eat. You know, and there's times we see it in the Word of God where Jesus is saying, remember when Jesus was going to the cross? You know, the Bible says that, and he's telling them, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to the cross. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. And you know what? And Peter, this is what the Bible says, Peter takes Jesus aside and rebukes him. What's that teaching us? Sometimes men think they know more than Jesus knows. Can I tell you about God? God will get in your face. You don't argue with God and try to convince, hey, can I tell you about God? God's not changing his mind on stuff. Amen. Why? Because why would he change his mind? He's right. Look at your neighbor, say, God is right all the time. See, if somebody ought to change their mind, it ought to be us. Amen. And here's what I want you to catch. Those guys are going to get all-you-can-eat lunch. I've told you this before. How many know, you know what? That was probably the best fish they ever ate. Amen? I'm not a big fish lover, but Tamara and I used to go to this place in West Covina, and they had this darkened halibut that was probably about the best thing you could ever eat. We went there on our wedding day. Oh. Amen. Uh-oh. Amen. I'm telling you what, I'm sure that was the best food, best fish they ever ate in the world. And after they're done, they pick up, 12 baskets worth of food. See, what do I believe the Holy Spirit? I believe at every single time they're bending over, and how many know, those baskets might have been big baskets. And they're picking it up and picking it up and picking it up. And God is just, how many know repetition is the motor of learning? And they're learning, you know what, talking about God will take care of us. 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 God, you know, do what God says. Do what God says. God is smarter than you. God is smarter than you. God is smarter than you. I mean, we know this because we know, you know what, after that one guy said, hey, I forget who it was. Somebody helped me out. I think it was Thomas, or I don't know. I forget who it was. But one of the guys said, "Hey, there's this boy over here, and he's got five loaves and two fish." But then he says, "But what is that amongst all this?" Well, see, when he's picking up all the leftovers, you know what? God reminds him what all that is. See, listen, the minimum that you have mixed with obedience to God is the solution to whatever your problem is. See, David was, you know what, nothing compared to Goliath. But David is not going alone. David is going in obedience to what God says for him to do. Let me teach you something. Obedience to God will always benefit you. And disobedience will always be to your detriment. I'm going to say that again. Obedience to God is always, will always be in your favor. And it will always be to your disadvantage to be disobedient to God. Always. Somebody say always.
Always.
Amen. So I want to just keep on going, I sense, and we'll just be obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. But I sense I just want to keep on going in John and start to pick out all the times that this is going on. And I have something specifically that I want to share with you tonight that I think I know will be a blessing to you. So go to John chapter 6. Guys in the back, go with me. John chapter 6. We're just going to go verse by verse. And I want to start And then last week we saw God's supernatural ability to do something quicker. All of a sudden he took that boat and he put it on hyperspeed. Remember this? And all of a sudden, boom, they were on the other side. And we said this, to be obedient to God is the smartest thing. You be obedient. God's word can never fail. You do what God says, and it might look like you're the slow turtle, but when it gets down to it, you're going to be faster than everybody else. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, but Pastor, I could save more money and get out of debt faster.
No,
Pastor, you talked about debt tonight. You're right. So here's my plan. I'm gonna get out of debt faster, and then when I get out of debt, then I'm gonna start tithing. Okay, well, that's a nice plan, but how many, I'm saying that sarcastically, that's a nice your plan, amen? But how many know if you do what God says, he can put you in, see, you know what this comes down to? It comes down to whatever it's about, raising kids, finances, whatever it's about, relationship, whatever it's all comes down to this. Either you're going to do this on your own or you're going to do it in supernatural. Okay, let's break that word down. Supernatural. What does supernatural mean? It means it's superior to the natural. So you come up with this idea, here's what I'm going to do, and then, you know what? And let me tell you what. If you could get out of debt, you're going to do it naturally. Did you hear me? If you could get out of debt, you're going to do it naturally. And I would say, who in the world wants to dig the ditch with the shovel when you can dig the ditch with a backhoe?
Oh, there he is. Come on.
Who wants to dig the ditch with the shovel when you could do it with a backhoe? Amen? But I'd warn you on this. Even if you got out of debt by yourself, A, it's going to take you longer by yourself, number one. And number two, when you get out of debt, the same devil that convinced you that it was a good idea to not tithe when you are in debt is the same devil that's going to convince you that it's a better idea not to tithe now that you're out of debt. How many? Same devil. And he'll come up with another. He'll say, I'll tell you what, here's what you should do. Here's what you should do. Why don't you take that 10% and invest it, and you'll make more money, and watch this, and then you can give. Do you notice the correlation between the two? The correlation between the two is always you're going to do it tomorrow. When you get out of debt, then you're going to invest it. Then you're going to make it, you know, and it's all this lie to, oh, yeah, like someday you're going to write a check for, you know what, $100,000. Can I give you a warning? If you can't write a check for $200, you ain't going to write a check for, you know what, $100,000. Oh, you missed a good time to say amen. I said you missed a good time to say amen. Hallelujah. But we learned last week that being obedient to God can put you into supernatural. And you can get over to the other side and look and go, how in the world did I get here so quick? How in the world did I get out of debt so fast? How in the world was my business able to? How did I able to get so far so quickly? I'll tell you how. Because you told your mind to shut up, and you submitted to what God said. That didn't listen. Can I teach you something? God's ways are counterintuitive many times. Y'all know what counterintuitive means, right? It means you don't think, and man, it goes against what you want to do. Amen. Many times I've learned this from pilots. They'll get up in the air, and they get up in there particularly when they start to pilot where there's cloud cover. And when you can't see the horizon anymore. Remember when Kennedy died? Do you remember this? He was flying, and he didn't have his his certification to fly that plane on the instruments. See, when you get in cloud cover, you start to not, you don't know where the horizon is, and you start to get confused on what level is. But there's this instrument, you know what? There's many instruments, but one of the instruments is going to tell you what level is. And you have to fly that plane. You have to trust the plane more than you trust your brain. I'm going to start rapping in a minute. Yeah, you guys know I am too. That's why you laugh, because you know I'm not going to do that. But you have to trust your brain more than you have to trust the plane, that instrument, more than you trust your brain. That is Christianity. That's Christianity. That's Christianity 101. So that thing is saying, no, you got to get the nose up. No, you got to get the nose down. And your brain is saying, no, you're flying it down like that. But you're not flying it down like that. You're flying it even. Amen. And they speculate, because they don't know for sure, but they speculate that's exactly what happened. You know what? It got dark. He went out there, you know what, and didn't know how to fly, didn't know trusted his brain more than he trusted his plane. And I'm telling you, your brain, you'll know it. In your head, you'll know, no, that is wrong. And just put his plane. I mean, you know, you're going down like this, and you're thinking you're level, but you're going down like this. You only have a little bit of time. And he just stuck it right in the ocean. Well, how many know when you hit the water, you know what? That's the time to go. That's not the time to go, I should have listened to that instrument. How many have stuck your life into a side of a mountain? And when you stuck your life in the side of the mountain, you thought, oh, God does know more than me. But see, here's the trick. The trick is to do it before. Lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge God in all your ways. All your ways. You know what that means? It means all the areas of your life, in your finances, in your relationships. You know what? In your all the areas in your life. Amen. And sometimes you can have prophets that will help you out. Remember I told you a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago, there was that one baseball player and his wife, as he purchased, you know, baseball player, you know, made a lot of money and was able to go out and just purchase this plane. And his wife begged him not to buy the plane. How many know God will use people to speak to you? Amen. John chapter 6, look at verse 26. Jesus answered them and said, most assuredly. Why in the world does Jesus say, you know what most assuredly says means? It means, hey guys, for sure I'm telling you the truth. You know why he's saying that? Because he knows a lot of times men just don't believe him. God should just be able to tell you anything without saying most assuredly to you. Amen. Jesus said, most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for food which endures to everlasting life. Let me stop right there. Jesus is saying, hey guys, focus on what's really important. How many know we live in a land, in a world, in it? We get caught up in the craziest, silliest things. You know, that aren't going to make, you know what, no difference in the future. That's what he's saying. He's saying, guys, focus on what's really important. Verse 27, do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life. Now, it's so interesting because later on, Jesus is going to talk about this food, and they're going to act like he's crazy. But he's not crazy. He's been teaching this for a long time. I'm the bread of life. He's correlating himself and bread with you, with that being the substance. His words are the substance that you are going to feed upon. And he's starting it way back here. And then later on when he's going to ask them to, you know what, to partake in that, they're going to act like, man, we don't even know what you're talking about. How many know, listen to me. How many know, let's say it like this. Say it like this. How many know there's so many people, and even people in the body of Christ, that will say this, you know what? The Bible's hard to understand. Now listen, before you say amen to this and you expose yourself, don't say amen to that, okay? any book is hard to understand if you never read it. Matter of fact, you know what? I would say that Jesus, being such a clear communicator, how many know there's no one communicates better than God? I would just argue and say, you know what? Maybe we cannot understand this so much because we don't read it. I'm not saying you, but I'm not saying not you. I don't know. Amen. Let me give you, for instance. I've been reading Exodus. And you know what God says to Pharaoh over and over and over and over and over and over and over again? There's something really cool about reading the Bible in chunks. Now let me teach you something, because you're like, Pastor, didn't you tell me to don't read the Bible in chunks? Just read a chapter? Yes. So here, let me give you a new revelation. Read the Bible in just little chunks. And read the Bible in big chunks. And read the Bible in medium chunks. Hey, how many will let your pastor learn too? And I recognize there's something valuable about reading the Bible in big chunks, because you start to see it from a different perspective. I still advocate very much, read your chapter, 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 chapter. But I also advocate, so I'm trying to read the Bible in bigger chunks, and I'm getting all kinds of revelation knowledge. So one of the things I see from reading it in chunks is this. When the plagues, every time Moses goes to Pharaoh and says, hey, let my people go. You know what he says? He says, let my people go that they may worship me. Well, you read that and you're like, oh, that's cute. But you start reading it in every plague, he's saying, that my people can worship me, that my people would worship me, that, you know, the frogs, that my people would worship me, the blood turn into, the water turn into blood, that my people would worship me. You know what, the flies, that my people would worship me. You know what, the hail, that my people would worship me. And you start to catch the cadence of God. What's the cadence of God? God wants us to worship him. Amen. I mean, I'm just reading Exodus, and God is ministering to me how important it is, how much he loves when we worship him. Amen. Is it that hard to understand? No, because he goes over and over and over. That's what I want to do in here. I want you to see all the times how much his word, if you activate it in your life, is going to become your power. Amen. Do not labor for the food which perishes, all the stuff that is just so non-important that catches our life, and we get so busy doing stuff that doesn't make any, it perishes. Say it perishes. You know, all this stuff, you know, all this junk of, you know what, who's doing what and that and this and what they're wearing and all this stuff. And it's so silly. Amen. It's just a waste of time. And can I teach you this? And a bunch of it, you ought to have nothing to do with it. And here's why. Because a lot of it is in the form of gossip and negativity and all this stuff. You know what? Judgment, judging these people, and you got people judging people, and you get all into that. Who cares? Amen? How many nobody's good in this world? Jesus said. Man, you want to get on somebody's case? You know what? Look in the mirror. Amen? I'm serious. We start looking at this Hollywood person and that Hollywood person and what they did and what they're doing and all this stuff. And it's like, but it turns into this gossipy, junk, critical, you know, listen, and maybe they do have problems, but shouldn't we be taking bricks off of their strongholds, not putting more bricks on? Just a side note, but needs to be said, because that stuff is yuck. We get all involved in it. And just not producing anything. Do not labor for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. Amen. See, God will give it to you. Amen. God will tell you the truth. God will tell you how to get out of your mess. God will tell you how to have a good marriage. God will tell you how to run your business. God will tell you how to raise your kids. God will tell you how to do stuff. Yeah. Amen. Which the Son of Man, that's Jesus, will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. Then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Great question. Look at the answer. And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. You want to know what to do? Here's what you ought to do. Believe Jesus. Therefore, they said to him, listen to every reaction, it's so funny. Not really funny, but kind of disgusting. But anyway, this is what they said to him. What sign will you perform then that we might see it and believe you? What work will you do? You've been around enough to know. Recently, he just turned he just fed all those people. Here, how about that for a sign? Here's another sign. How about somebody who couldn't walk for 38 years? You know what? How about that guy's walking around now? Amen. And they know it because they ask him. Remember this? Hey, why are you carrying that bed around? Yeah. Oh, no. You know what? A guy told me to do it. Right? They found out who that guy was. That was Jesus. Oh, listen, can I tell you about Jesus? You didn't have to be around him very long, and you're going to see the supernatural going on in your life. You're going to get next to Jesus, and you're going to see the supernatural happen. Amen. Amen. And they're saying, you know what? What sign? You know, what sign are you going to show us? Our Father, this is ridiculous. So funny. Our Father ate the manna in the desert, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Notice what they're doing. Do you see it? They're quoting the Old Testament. How many know it's so interesting? People pick out what they want in the Bible and they put other stuff, and they don't point on other stuff out. How many know we can do that sometimes? I'm going to pick this out. Oh, our Father, let me tell you, our Father's got a sign. Why won't you give us a sign? They got a sign. Okay, Jackson, let's talk about your fathers, okay? And then they quote the word. Well, hey, how about this part? How about this part that your father said concerning manna? Specifically concerning manna. How about this part? The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, where we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we want, but you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly. How about quoting that part of your dad's, your father's? What I bring up that point? Because they're exalting their fathers as like they were godly. You know what? And did God give manna as a sign? Absolutely he did. What was the sign? One of the signs was his provision. God is providing for us. Help me out,
somebody.
Come on, y'all Old Testament scholars, right? Somebody help me out. What happened with the manna? So you went out and you collected your manna for the day. What happened if you collected 2 days of manna? It spoiled, it rotted, the worms would start to eat it. Okay? And as that, you're thinking, well, I'll tell you what, I'm getting up for 2 days. I'm going to sleep in tomorrow. I'm getting up for 2 days. What? And then you got all the worms in your kitchen. What is God teaching them? He's teaching them 2 things. You both said it. He's teaching them dependency on God and daily dependency on God. Amen. And did they learn that?
Nope.
They're not gonna. What else? What else is God teaching? Gratefulness. Somebody say gratefulness. Oh. Here. Let's just park here for a minute. Can we park here for a minute? Robert, can we park here for a minute? Robert says we can, so we can. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at Robert because Robert said okay. How many know we were going there no matter what Robert said? Amen. Okay, so all I'm saying, you know what? Gratefulness is so important to God. You know, many times we can start complaining with where our life is. And I'm not saying, listen, I'm not saying everything in your life is perfect. I'm just saying God wants you to be appreciative for what you have. You read it in the Old Testament. They're saying, imagine, imagine that God has given you everything that he's given you. How many are going to sleep in a bed tonight? How many, if it gets cold tonight, I'm just asking, how many if it gets cold tonight, you're going to be able to pull out another blanket? How many have a pillow for your head and you have a pillow for your legs? Amen. How many ever gone to you go to a motel or something and they got a pillow that's hard and you wake up, you know, so you know what? Oh, okay. How many are going to suffer tonight with a jacked up pillow? Or let me ask it in the positive. How many aren't going to sleep tonight with a jacked up pillow? Because your pillow, you know, Goldilocks, is not too hard. It's not too soft. It's, what is your pillow? Your pillow is what? Your pillow is just right. Amen. How many have a cell phone? Amen. Come on, be honest. I heard somebody's cell phone already tonight, so you know what I mean? Right? How many have a cell phone? How many have a computer? You know what? How many have a car? Amen. How many have a bike? I don't have a car. How many have a bike? Amen. See, all I'm saying, you know what? If you're a musician, you got a guitar. If you're a skateboarder, you got three skateboarders. Three skateboards.
Boarders.
Right? Yeah, amen. Amen. Got all kinds of things. And yet sometimes, you know what? What is God teaching the Israelites? Here's what they do. They're complaining, and with all the things that God has given them, they say this, you know what? We were better where we used to be. You know what? Let me tell you what. You were never better in bondage than you are free. Never better. Amen. Amen. But God wants us, you know what, to understand contentment with Him. Father, thank you. You know what? No, not Father, you know what? Oh, you know, Father, thank you for my job. You know, I used to get mad when I came into Albertsons. No, really, righteous indignation. How many know sometimes your spirit can get mad at junk? And I would get mad because, you know what, a lot of the employees would complain. And I used to think, you know what the truth is? I'm not saying that you're not smart, but I am saying, you know what, you have a job in air conditioning where you have a break, and you know what, you get a lunch, you get a break. You know what? You get paid pretty well, specifically in correlation to what little training you have. Amen. Amen. And you're going to complain because the customer who comes in has never worked here a day in their life. They're going to ask you where the bathroom is. Amen. Just used to just make me mad. Say, man, why don't you be grateful? And they're going to quote, you know what, about the Old Testament, their fathers. And can I tell you about their fathers? Their fathers were disgusting. I know that sounds harsh. But God said, let me tell you about your fathers. Your fathers had a stiff neck. God didn't, let me tell you what. God treated people, and this needs to be said about us. God, think about this for a minute. You, think about just where you were born and the advantages that you have. Amen. Amen. All the advantages that you have. I mean, you know, we just ought to be people that count our blessings. The Israelites, they had been delivered. And all that, read it in Exodus. It's an amazing story. I mean, I know we know the story, but sometimes it's good to read it. And just read the story. God is going to deliver them, you know what, with a mighty hand. He's going to deliver them in a mighty way. And they're going to complain about the manna. And then their great, 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 great grandsons are going to act like they were righteous. And they were not righteous. They rejected God and His plan for their life. Oh yeah, that's our we'll bring it together. They rejected God and his plan for their life. And what God wanted to do, he couldn't do because of their rejection. Man, I don't want to be that kind of people. I said, I don't want to be that kind of people. I don't want to be in Newport Beach. Amen. I don't, you know what? Matter of fact, recently, about a year ago, I forget what we were doing. We were doing something, and we were down by Newport Beach, and you know that's where I met my sweetheart. And so we had the kids with us, and they had heard all kinds of stories. So we just kind of took them, and you know what? Hey, that's where, you know what, Tim and I had our first date, and you know what? That's, you know what? Anyway, we're just showing them a certain place. That's where we, you know what? And different stuff, right? And for a minute, somebody say for a minute. I started to think, one of the reasons I loved Newport Beach and Costa Mesa, because I lived in Costa Mesa too in that time frame, but one of the reasons I loved it there is because the summers are way cooler. When it's 100 down here, it's 80 down there. 80's nice, you know what I mean? And especially now, because you know what, the older I get, the more I like the cool weather, you know what I mean? And so, and like 60 degrees, I love 60 degrees. And a lot of times in the winter down there, it's the climate is just milder. It's just really nice. And we were down there, and it was a nice, cool day. And I just thought, man, I like it down here. And I felt like this little pull. And I could hear the Holy Spirit just say, do not yearn for Egypt. Amen. Amen. And I had a great pastor down there, went to a great small little four square church down there, had great Christian experiences down there. I mean, just incredible things happened to me down there. Just positive, wonderful things. And yet, there was this yearning that I knew was not a good thing. And I said, no, I'm not going to do it. Because let me tell you what, we start to yearn for those, you know what, old days. And we start to really reject God and what he wants us to move forward. Why did you move up to here? Here's why. Because one of my mentors taught me this. Listen to me, I'll end with this. He taught me this. Prosperity. I'm not talking about some money thing. Please understand, when I talk about prosperity, I'm talking about, I do not exclude money, and here's why, because God has promised to take care of his children. I get a little annoyed with pastors who won't include that as part of our covenant. I don't know. I get upset with pastors who will not include that with our covenant. And listen, if that's you, you're going to be hard-pressed reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because Jesus includes that God is promised to take care of you. Amen. I'm talking about taking care of you having stuff that you need in life. You'll be hard-pressed to argue that point with me if you're going to stay biblical. Amen. But a lot of times we want to wrap ourselves in some kind of, you know what? We get hypocritical sometimes. We want to talk about how God brings sickness and disease. Like that's a blessing. Hey, Jackson, if that's a blessing, then why do you keep on going to the doctor to try to get that rid of that sickness and disease? Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. So praise God. You know, if that's what you think, why you keep on trying to take the blessing of God off you? No, let me tell you what. That's not part of the blessing. It's part of the curse that we have been delivered from. Amen. Amen. And part of that curse also is not being able to pay our bills. Amen. Read your Bible and then come and argue with me. I'm just saying. But God wants to deliver us. And he said to me, you know what? He said, you know what, Drew? Well, he didn't say to me, Drew, because he doesn't know me personally. But the Holy Spirit used him to speak this to me. The Holy Spirit said, Drew, I'm talking to you. And he said this, you know what? Obedience. If you will do what I tell you to do, you will be prosperous. Because that prosperity isn't a place, it's a person. And the person is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. That's why Moses was like, what do I want to go into a land flowing with milk and honey? Who cares? I mean, if this is true, then all these multimillionaires that are committing suicide would be happy. No, we're talking about God's prosperity, where he gives you everything you need. And you're in a position where you have peace and joy and comfort. I mean, who cares if you're driving a Rolls Royce, but you know what? You're so worried that you can't enjoy it. What good is that do? What good is provision do without the peace of God? Amen. But how are we gonna live in that place? Here's how we're gonna live in it. You know what? You and I, be a grateful person for everything we have. Thank God for the manna. Amen. Yeah, but I ate manna yesterday. Amen. Well, eat it again today. Amen. Amen. Yeah, but I, you know what? But I only got two pairs of jeans. Thank God for your two pairs of jeans. Amen. See, here's why that's so stupid to use it as an example. Because nobody's got two pairs of jeans. Well, I don't think you have two pairs of jeans. But if you do, why? You got four or five. You got short jeans, long jeans, medium jeans. You got jeans with holes in it. You got white jeans. You got, come on, somebody. You got skinny jeans. You got fat jeans. You got all kind of jeans. Amen? Is this not true? It is true. Man, let's just be a grateful people. Amen? Let's be a people we just listen to God. Just say, God, you are what I want. If I do what you say, I'm going to be, you know what? I'm going to be in a good place. Yeah, but where's my husband? Don't worry about it. He's coming. Amen? Amen. Where's my wife? She's coming. Amen? Stop complaining about what you don't have. Amen? Single people wanting to get married. Married people wanting to get single. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. All these people, you know what? Y'all know this, right? You know how, you know why the hairdresser stays in business, right? Because the people who got curly hair, they want straight hair. The people who got straight hair, they want curly hair. Amen? The people who got short hair, they want long hair. The people with no hair, they just want a good razor. Amen? Let's just be grateful. Amen? Let's be thankful. Let's trust God that he knows more than we do. Just raise up your hands. Father, we thank you for all your goodness. May as we sleep tonight, as we lay our head on the perfect pillow that we have. May we be grateful. And maybe not everything in our life is right. But may we trust you that you are going before us making the crooked path straight. Father, we thank you for a great night. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.